Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Wednesday, April 27th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, five in a row, the Guardians have lost all five games on this road trip after getting swept in New York over the weekend. They dropped the first two in Anaheim, losing last night 4-1. They didn't score a run until their final at-bat in the ninth inning after going 17 innings of this series so far. Being held scoreless, Patrick Sandoval, who hasn't allowed an earned run all season, a lefty who gave Cleveland problems, was really just spot on. Had Guardians hitters, completely fooled all night long. And Tristan McKenzie, made a couple of mistakes as the starter, and the Guardians' lack of offense wasn't able to pick him up.
Yeah, he made the mistakes of the wrong guy, too, Mike Trout, and, the two-run homer and the double. And, you give up three runs now. If you're a Cleveland pitcher with this offense, you're done. You might as well just run up the white flag and, go to the bullpen and get your work in for the next day, the next start, because they're not coming back.
Yeah, we saw the same thing the night before with Shane Bieber, who – looked strong through six innings and Tito put him back out there in the seventh and didn't go and get him, soon enough. And with the Guardians unable to score any runs, it really did come back and bite him. A particular concern right now for Cleveland offensively is Framil Reyes, their cleanup hitter, their designated hitter. He is 0 for his last nine ever since hitting that home run in New York off Jameson Taillon. He's been in a slide 0 for 9, and 8 of those plate appearances have been strikeouts. Again, last night he struck out 4 times, just looked awful at the plate, doesn't know what's coming and how to react to it. And Terry Francona said after the game, one night he's swinging and missing at soft stuff away and low, and the next night he's swinging at the fastballs, hard stuff up high. It's just a lot of confusion, I think, up there at the plate for Framil.
Yeah, he certainly looks, dazed and confused up there, Joe. We were talking before the podcast started, 43.5% strikeout rate for the season? for a guy hitting in the middle of your lineup, that's not going to work. And I mean, it could work if he's hit 10, 12, 15 home runs, but we haven't seen that either. So, and it's not like, in the situations where they've won ball games, he's had people on base in front of him. Right. So, I know it's probably too early for Francona to react, to move him down in the lineup or sit him down for a couple days. But, this is something that's going to have to be addressed, or, Framil just comes out of it by himself. But right now he looks lost at the plate.
Right. And that's sort of the frustrating thing, is because we've seen Framil get as hot. And one of the things that Tito is fond of saying is this, a guy who can get as hot as he is cold. So, he used to say that about Jose Ramirez when there was that little brief period where Jose had a really bad slump. This could go on for a while, I think, with Framil until something clicks. But we've seen in the past that he's capable and as capable of a cleanup hitter who can carry guys and get hot for a good, week to couple of weeks there. So there's a lot of good in there. It's just it's hard to see it right now with Framil.
Yeah, and he's not even making contact, Joe. He's not even falling out. He's swinging and missing and everything. So, I'm sure the frustration is building in him. When you're going bad, you you get up in those situations where those, you're always in those key situations where one base hit can break the game open or put your team back in the game, and you don't come through and you don't come through. And it just, you know, baseball can like grind you down, man. You really have to be strong mentally to handle this. And, you know, Franmil's getting tested right now early in the season.
Yeah. The only, I guess the only sort of positive in from Franmil's perspective could be that it's not like there's a lot of guys pushing behind him to be the DH right now to take that spot away from him. So there's maybe a little bit of time to get adjusted. And, you know, with the young roster, with all the movement and the moves being made, you know, every other day, it's sort of an approach where they can afford to be a little more patient with him right now this year. I think if they were pushing to be at the top of the standings right now, that'd be a totally different animal. But right now, I think it's more of a wait and see and evaluate process with a lot of the other guys on the roster, and that's going to afford Franmil a little more time to sort of come into his own this year.
Yeah, and who, like you said, Joe, who's he gonna put in there? Is he gonna put Bobby Bradley in there? You know, at DH, I think that's one. You know, that's six on one hand, and you know, six on the other. I mean, that's just like, you know, I don't think that's an improvement. Maybe what about a guy like Oscar Gonzalez, who's just, you know, tearing the cover off the ball in Columbus? Do they, you know, even think about that? Or do you have to go a month or month more, like a month and a half later, you know, from here, you know, into the season a little deeper to do that?
Well, I mean, the message to an Oscar Gonzalez right now is, hey, keep doing what you're doing, because we're going to give Franmil another month. And if things continue this way, then, you know, maybe by the end of May, you could see some sort of movement. But we go from at the beginning of the year talking about Franmil as a candidate or a guy who they could offer an extension to, you know, and his representation notwithstanding in that regard. But, you know, Scott Boras being his agent, but, you know, a guy who you thought of as maybe a keystone piece for your organization to, you know, it's definitely an overreaction to think, oh, well, let's get rid of him and call up the guy from AAA, the 20.
No, definitely. And he, you know, you're paying him almost $5 million a year, you know, this year. So you're going to stick with him. And, you know, he's a 30 home run guy. He's got the pedigree. He's done it before. So I think you just hang in there with him. But, you know, I would not be surprised to see him get a couple of days off here, you know, and late, you know, either on this trip or when they get home, or, you know, something, you know, there's they've got to kind of attack this some way, somehow.
Right. And you've got Josh Naylor sitting there. You could put him at DH and, you know, get him off his feet in the field, maybe for a couple of days. So if you need to give Franmil a day or two, I wouldn't be surprised to see Josh Naylor in there as the DH hitting behind Jose Ramirez coming up.
Yeah. And maybe you play Franmil in right field. That's when he hit the home run, right? I think if you want to do that, I mean,
hey, playing at second base, whatever. I don't care. Something. Oh man, Hoynesy. You know what? You know what made last night, you know, a little bit more bearable coming back from the park? I discovered Winchell's here in Southern California, which is a coffee and donuts place. It's open 24 hours. I saw the sign was on, and I went in and I got some donuts, man. Last night, it threw up so many bagels on the scoreboard. I had to get some donuts on the way home back to the hotel. So
that's good, Joe.
You know, it's not the worst thing in the world when you come home from the park and there's donuts waiting for you in the hotel room. So,
I mean, they've scored three runs in 27 innings.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this offense in their 10 losses this year, they've scored 13 runs. In their seven wins, they've scored 63 runs. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you make of an offensive ball?
In the games that they've won, they've averaged the most runs in Major League Baseball. In the games that they've lost, they're tied for the worst with like Houston and Baltimore for like the worst run production in all their losses. So it's you're so fond of saying feast or famine offense or hot and cold offense. There's only so many ways you can say it without sounding redundant every time we do, but it's the same issue and the same problem. And it's a symptom of a young team. when they string those at bats together, and they all know it. You talk to these guys and they all know, hey, if we sacrifice ourselves, if we, you know, let our teammates see a number of pitches per at bat, or, do the things that the good hitting teams do as a team to hit, they're successful. And when they don't do that, when they swing at the first pitch or have bad at bats, those tend to multiply as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point.
So, I want to touch back on Tristan McKenzie. One of the things that Tito said, this was his third start, his fourth appearance of the year, because he came in relief in the opener. But Tristan came out firing. He threw, Tito said, something like 18 of 19 strikes to start the game. And, you know, he was all over the zone. He filled up the strike zone. And it might have been, a little too much in the strike zone, too many pitches that were too good. And that's what happens when Mike Trout sees something in the strike zone that he likes.
Yeah, he struck Trout out in the first inning with kind of I don't know if it was a cutter away, and then he came back with the same pitch. It looked like, at least on TV from watching the game, in the third inning, and Trout hit it, like 10 miles for a two-run homer. So, you live and learn with a guy like that. And, Tristan, I thought overall he pitched pretty well. Six strikeouts, no walks. He gave up seven hits, four runs, 5 2/3. But still, decent outing. If you score some runs, you're right in that game.
Right. And, the job that so far Shane Bieber and Tristan McKenzie have done on Shohei Ohtani has been outstanding. They've really limited, I think they've limited him to what, one or two hits so far in the series, kept him off the bases pretty much. But now Shohei Ohtani is going to present a different problem for Cleveland, as he's going to start on the mound tonight against Zach Plesac. And that presents a whole different set of problems for Cleveland.
Yeah. Is he going to DH as well, you think, Joe?
I'm pretty sure he's going to hit pitch, and then he'll enter the game as the DH once he comes out as the pitcher, which is, happened so far. And that's the adjustment in the rule that they made for him this year in Major League Baseball. But, it just figures that a guy who has this huge strikeout potential and can really keep your offense in a funk when it's in one, is the guy you run into as you're building out a 5-game losing streak.
Yeah, the surprising thing is Lorenzen and Sandoval. I mean, I know they both pitch well against Cleveland, but not exactly your household names as starters, and they just did a great job against this offense. And now you've got Ohtani, the MVP from last year. He's going. So, if the Angels could ever stay healthy, if they could ever, get their pitching staff together, that might be a dangerous team.
Yeah, I think Sandoval had raised a couple of eyebrows, and people had noticed him in his first three starts going into to last night's game. He's at what, 15 innings or something like that of scoreless baseball. I think he was a known that he was at least hot at least Tito knew. So interesting to note there.
And last year they did beat Ohtani last year out there, mm-hmm, at Anaheim at Angel Stadium. So
they were 5-1 against the Angels last year. It's just what are you going to do? We asked Tito about, like you said, you made a point to our subtext subscribers. By the way, hey, if you want to get in on subtext, 216-298-4346, you can send a text to that or go to cleveland.com/subtext, sign up $3.99 a month, and you get texts and the ability to text back and forth with myself and Hoynsey throughout the season with information you hear at first from us at that service. You made a point to our subtext subscribers earlier about the game times being faster because basically the Guardians aren't scoring any runs. It's a good way to get the games quicker. But Tito mentioned that one of the other aspects that could factor into games going so quickly has been this PitchCom technology that the catchers are using. It signals the pitchers on a speaker in their cap, and gives them the signs for the pitch without having to flash signals and repeat them over and over again. So Tito said, you know, pitchers are just getting on the mound and going, and batters are having to slow them down by stepping out or raising their hand or whatever. He said there might have to be some sort of adjustment made about that, because the games are going faster, the pitchers are getting sped up.
Yeah, you know, and now it's the hitters that have to adjust. And, you know, I think a big thing on the pitch count thing is, Joe, when, you know, a runner gets on second base, you no longer have to have, you know, 14 meetings with the catcher running out there, the pitching coach changing signs, you know. They can just, you know, it's still, you know, kind of a fluid operation. It doesn't slow the game down.
Well, that's one of the things when, you know, young players come up is they comment about the pace of the game and the, you know, the, just the feel of, okay, it's coming and it's not stopping for you. So you better make the adjustment. That, like you said, that's what the hitters are going to have to do, is make that adjustment themselves. It's definitely something that's needed. Hey, yesterday we marked, we were actually in the club. We got caught in the clubhouse as they were about to start their team meeting to congratulate Brian Shaw on 10 years of service. And they presented him with a nice bottle of scotch. It was a single malt scotch, Glenfiddich 21, was the gift that the team gave him.
Did he take a shot right there?
No, he did not. He was, but you could tell that he was definitely humbled by the experience talking to him. Austin Hedges got up and made a nice speech, and he had a ton of family here in the stadium. After the game, he was down the right field line for quite some time, talking to everybody and sharing some stories. So it was you know, really nice to see, a rare feat for players these days to reach 10 years of service time in the big leagues. Brian Shaw certainly deserving of all the congratulations that were being offered to him.
Yeah, you did a really nice story on that today, Joe. That was a good one. And who was the guy a couple years ago?
Tyler Clippard.
Yeah, he reached too, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to bounce around a lot. All those relievers, man, they like they never unpack their suitcases. They pitch for 10, 12 different teams, and to get that 10 years. So, well, it's an accomplishment.
For Clippard, he never unpacks his golf clubs. He takes those everywhere. He had like 20 different pairs of golf shoes or something like that. But it's rare for any. I think the numbers that were put out by the MLB Players Association, fewer than 10% of players reach 10 years in the majors. And the numbers are even fewer for relief pitchers. Their wingspan or lifespan is considerably shorter. But Shaw is able to do that because he's able to pitch. He made his 700th appearance. Think about it. In the same game that Richie Palacios made his major league debut, yeah, Brian Shaw made his 700th appearance. And that's more than it's almost double what the combined the remainder of the Guardians bullpen has in appearances. So it's definitely impressive that he's been able to keep himself healthy and on the active roster for that many seasons.
Yeah. Just think the forces that are kind of working against you and for a player to get to 10 seasons. You know, you've got injury, you've got competition, you've got, you know, you've got ownership, you know, squeezing the veteran players out. You've got a lot of different forces working against you. So to play that long, and to be as productive as he is, you know, that doesn't happen by accident. They don't give you a gold card in baseball where you just show up. You know, you've got to be productive. You know, that's why guys like Omar Vizquel and you know, people, you know, poo, you know, the longevity factor. And that's a mistake, man. You don't play this game for free. Nobody gives you a free pass to come back year after year after year.
Right. And Shaw definitely knows how many more, you know, his stated goal of passing Jesse Orozco's all-time appearances mark. He knows 552 now is the I can do the math on that one. After a nice round number like 700, you can get to it. So, all right. Well, we've already talked about Ohtani, Zach Plesac going on the mound for Cleveland tonight. Is this a night where the Guardians snap out of it and finally break through, maybe against Ohtani and the Angels, and turn things around for the remainder of this road trip?
You know, Joe, I don't know. I just think they're in one of those funks, and you know, if you're in Vegas, you bet the streak, right? Especially in this matchup. But stranger things have happened. That's why they play the game. And I really like the way Plesac is pitching. So I think they've got a chance. They got a puncher's chance here.
All right. Well, Hoynsie, it's 80 degrees and sunny out here. I know that the folks playing baseball back home right now are sort of feeling it. It was 40 degrees at my son's game last night. So,
yeah, Joe, it looks like it's going to snow here.
that's awful. I'm going for a walk among the palm trees, Hoynsie. We will talk to you again at some point tomorrow, afternoon game here in LA, and we will talk to you then on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
All right, Joe.